yesterday Morris and his team went out again with this big cross and they did evangelism. People all across the world is doing that. Okay? Now you can build an end time bunker. There's various prices for various categories. But guys, that will not stand. That will not stand before God. Okay? When God comes back, you can't hide. Okay? It's, I don't know, you're not laughing, but I actually thought it was quite funny to build an end time bunker. Because if you know something about how big God is and who He is, then that will not stand. Now, as I said, this was about how far I got. I came across this website and I thought it was quite funny. But what I actually wanted to do, and I will just do a little bit of that, maybe in future we'll do more, talk about the end times. Now, yesterday morning we had a very good meeting with the kiddies church, the ladies here. I can really see they are organized. It's a blessing. Afterwards, I went to Sean and the guys to meet them and help them repair the two finished or broken burst tires. And I got home just before 1 o'clock. And the ladies, or men, you must listen now, really good. Maritza also came home from work. And I told her, you know what, I think we should spend a little bit of time together in the afternoon, the family. Maybe we should drive somewhere, have a picnic, do something nice. I could see my wife's, her eyes were big. And she was like, thought, oh, I married the right guy. And just some free advice for you. Ladies love things like that. Tell them you want to spend time with you. With them, and I really love it. That was the plan, but you know, God, you know what He probably wanted to tell to us as well. And you know, we were having our lunch and doing one or two things, sitting outside in the sun, and the phone rang, went to the phone, and then it was Pastor Rick. Now, he's the chauffeur pastor from Paul, Pastor Rick Borman. And they was just, and I asked him, hey Rick, how are you? I know him quite well. And I could hear his voice was trembling a bit, something was wrong. Then he said, no, they're just at the site where a big car accident was. And it's a bit ugly, it's bad what happened. And the other guy I know quite well, Paul, also know Michili, they was also there. And it was basically, it was a family from South Africa in Malmesbury, in the Western Cape. They were driving up here, looking forward to the Namibian holiday, to spend some time here. And then an accident happened with them in a truck. They got quite hurt. The husband he got quite hurt, quite badly. I don't know by now, but yesterday night it was still not sure if the one lady or the girl, high school girl, would make it. And unfortunately the mom didn't make it. She's not with us anymore. You know, and then Rick asked me to please help and assist a little bit because all their belongings are scattered. All around the scene of where the crash were, and he asked if I could just phone Gilly's dad in South Africa because the other son, he was flying from Cape Town to Windhoek and they were meant to pick him up. They don't know what time it was, and it was obviously, you don't want to get the news in a wrong way that your mom died. Now that's serious stuff that happened. And he also, I did make a phone calls and try and figure out a few things. And to cut a long story short, we went to the police. Fortunately, all their cash, their passports, the cameras, everything was there. I saw the vehicle. It really looked bad. Now, I'm giving you a lot of information, but it really struck me again, you know. And what happened is, so actually, after a lot of signing and ID numbers and stuff, me and Gilly, we load all the family's belongings, all their clothes, magazines, everything, in my bucky, and took it to my home, and we put it there in the spare room, okay? And that was when all of that was finished. It was almost, I would say, 5 o'clock, and then I drove on to Swakopmund. Now, the thing is just, that is, I wanted the next scripture I'm going to read to you, and I wanted to share with you, it's mentioned a few times, let me just, yeah, 2 Peter 3 verse 10, now that was the scripture I had before this accident actually happened. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in a holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire and the elements, and goes on. But you know what? You know what struck me? I sat last night, like usual, in my office, preparing, but it was like there was a blind in front. I just couldn't, I just couldn't focus in a sense because I was just thinking, and every time I stood up and walk outside of my office, in the spare room I see all this stuff of them, smelling of diesel, you know, and to think that they came on a holiday, on a family holiday, and now it ended in a disaster. And then later in the night, me and Maritza were sitting, the kids were sleeping, and it was on my heart, I had to ask, and I told her, do you think they knew the Lord? Do you think that lady knew the Lord? Now, I don't know the answer. I really, really hope she did. Okay? But that is the seriousness of life. And that's a bit I want to share on this morning for all of us. You know, we come to church this morning, we're all clothed, I believe we all are fed, it's nice and warm outside, all of us, I believe, has plans for the rest of the day. Okay? But stuff like that happens so fast. And Jesus said, you will come back like a thief in the night. Now, please hear my heart. I don't want to speak any condemnation or anything like that this morning, not at all. But I believe the Holy Spirit just want to tell us that we should move on. We should go on to a next gear. That's why I'm so glad that Sean and your team are here. That's the heart. You know, some of us we've got a lot of small kids, and I don't tell all of us right now, please go on missions or do something like that. But just to have it in my heart, in our hearts, to go and preach the gospel. You know, the other thing that struck me, and I'm going back this week, I'm going to look for that guy. After we did all the stuff at the surgeon, he was really helpful. And just before we left, you know, he was a really nice guy. He said, so Pastor, where's your church? And I said to him, no, it's down the road, and this is where we are. And I told him, this is, you know, I'm at the office, and this time we have our Sunday morning sermons or services. And he said, but unfortunately I can't come, I'm not a Christian. And it like kind of hit me a bit, because I'm standing with Gustav on my hip, Maritza's there in the car, and we're ready to go, and stuff are a bit unorganized. And I just smiled and said to him, listen, but it's fine, you can come anytime, come and drink coffee. And then he'd ask me, do you want to talk to me about Christ? And I said, I would like to. And then he said, okay, but you know, I must go and blah blah blah. But I should have taken that guy by the collar and said to him, no, you're not going. You're not going before we have spoken. Okay? Because if Jesus came this morning, he might have not made it. Are you with me this morning? Do you hear my heart? And last night it was bugging me. That's why I said I'm going to go back to that guy. Because there was actually a window of opportunity in his life to minister to him, to just tell him and say to him, listen, we're not going to talk about doctrine right now. But Jesus loves you, and it's important that you believe in him. Otherwise, when Jesus comes back, like a thief in the night, I said last week, none of us is supposed to know whether it will be in a week's time, or 20 years, or 50 years, or what. We all can read the signs. And I believe, if you look on the internet, in newspapers, there's a lot of people really getting uncomfortable. You know why? Because they can see scripture is true. There's definitely an increase in a lot of the stuff. If you really look honestly at what's going around us in the world currently, you will see all the things that has been predicted is happening. Okay? Why would there be something like an end time bunker built if you don't believe in God? If you don't believe in God, why build something like that? It struck me. Okay? So there's people getting nervous because they know they are not ready. And they hope that maybe it's not true. Maybe we have still a bit of time left. Okay, and according to scripture, the way I understand it, there is still a little bit of time left. There still is one or two things that need to, prophecies that need to be fulfilled. And that's why I said I actually wanted to preach on this, but we will do it in the weeks to come, that we all know what scripture says, and that we understand it. And when someone tells you this and that is going to happen or happened, and you think it's false, that you can maybe speak to that person and say, listen, I also read scripture, and this is what I understand. Let's talk about it. Maybe you don't have it the right way. Okay? But you know, guys, this type of things, this is the stuff that must make us go home and be really serious about, you know, we sing and dance this morning, and it's important. But we must have it in our hearts that if someone that you spend time with in the week tells you, I'm not a Christian, or I don't believe, or there is no God, then you must really pray and listen to your inner man, and then you must go to that person. Maybe we must get Auntie Doris and teach us how to do that. She really, don't let someone get away. Okay, there's no chance they're going to get away. Can the young men there at the back, and you say amen, amen. Yes, you know, last week, that was your week. Okay? But guys, I'm serious about this. It's something we can't think that hopefully the pastor or the mission team will do it, or this Reinhard Bonke or see us next week. All of us has got something to do. And once you have seen someone to come to Christ, then we all know how special and how important it is to be born again, to be starting new. And that's why we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid about, I can tell you this morning, honestly, I don't know exactly how all the end time stuff fit together. We actually started the end time research thing in our show for family churches. Okay? There's a lot of different guys say, this will then the rapture and this, that, and sequence and stuff. But it's really God's business. And it's important that as we get closer in this season of things drawing to an end, because that's not usually the stuff that I thought of when I was at primary school or even high school or after that. That was not the stuff that I woke up. When I woke up in the morning, that was in my heart. But I believe God is telling us. He's showing us the things around us. The stuff in Japan and New Zealand. I actually saw New Zealand had the biggest, or Christchurch, that area, had the biggest immigration now since the 1970s. People are moving away. They are scared it will happen again. Okay? And we can say, I believe it's quite stable here in Namibia. We had floods. Maybe we'll get a drought sometime. But we don't have a lot of earthquakes and stuff. But that doesn't mean we'll miss the end times. Okay? It will be in our front doors. And I want us this morning, when we leave, that's why I don't say I want to make you feel guilty or anything this morning. It's not my heart. But that when we leave, that we have that thing in our hearts saying to us that, is that friend of mine? Does he know the Lord? It's really important that all of us know that. And as I said, for me yesterday, when that whole car accident happened, and as I said, I'm going back to home later, and that stuff will still be there. And it's almost like a memorial saying to me, this is of a family who lost a loved one. And it's so sad. I really want to go and visit them in this week and see how I can help them. Okay? But we must have that seriousness in our hearts. And I was sitting there, I promise you, for more than 2.5 hours last night, and I just couldn't focus. I just couldn't progress. Usually, Saturday evenings are my good time for working on sermons. Okay? But I just couldn't. I don't know. It was all these things were going on in my mind, and I had all these files and folders of end time documents I wanted to read and tell you guys about, and we will in future. I really believe we will. And eventually I went to bed and had a shower and just say, okay, Lord, I believe you will tell the church what you want them to hear tomorrow morning. And I went to bed, and two things. God is so faithful. Always when we move, I told Sean and his team this morning, when you go, you can bargain on it, stuff will happen, good and bad, because that's the way, that's a spiritual principle. When you sit, it doesn't happen that much. Okay? So that two tires you lost, it's a good thing. You sowed it for a good purpose, Sean. But this morning, you know, I wake up, usually on Sunday mornings, 5:30, and you all know, it's cold. We've got a lot of small kids, and, you know, we don't sleep every night, the whole night. But God is good, and when I woke up, I thought like, yeah, I'm gonna lay a little bit in bed. I really don't want to get up now. It's probably -1 again outside, and I'm just going to lay in bed and pray. But that's my thought. I usually put on my alarm for my watch and my cell phone that I don't miss it. Okay? I know Auntie Doris is laughing. I know why you're laughing, because you can stay awake the whole night and pray, and I can't. I honor you for that. You're a legend. But just on that note, and I thought like, I'm just going to pray. But I knew I'm going to slip away again if I just stay in bed. And then two things came quickly to my heart. And I know that was what God was giving me for this morning. Because I wasn't thinking. My mind was still in neutral. Not even first gear. It wasn't happening yet. And the first one, God took me back to the first sermon that I preached this year, 9 January. And some of you were still on holiday. And I told you that day, I believe that's a word for us for this year. And I want to read it to you. It's from 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. That through us spreads the fragrance of Him everywhere. And that's why they are here. That's why Marius takes his cross on a Saturday and he moves. He said they didn't get far further than the parking lot yesterday. There was the first two salvations. Oscar, Harry, who of you joined them yesterday? Some of you guys, Martha, I didn't phone you back, but please forgive me. But that's is how people are ready. Scripture says the harvest is ready. We just need to take our cross, physically or literally, or whatever way, and go and speak to people. God wants their hearts. He wants their hearts to be with Him. And I believe this word, just again, I want to hold it before us, that we, Christians, that we will spread the fragrance of God, of Jesus Christ, everywhere. That's what He called us to do. The theme for the Shofar conference in September, October in Stellenbosch at our head office, it will be missions and worship. That's spreading the fragrance, okay? Worshipping the way we did this morning. And then the second word, I'm going to skip now quite a lot. I always work out my sermon, but I'm going to skip quite a lot to the second word that was actually the first one, I believe, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart this morning. And I remember way back in Stellenbosch still, I once did the offering on this. But God gave me this morning, and He showed me something different. But so say to the person next to you, it's good to have the mission team here. And it's from 1 Kings 17, verse 8. And I want to read it to you. If you've got your Bible here, you can follow with me. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now listen to this depressing picture. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat and die. Oh, it's the last food. There was a drought in the land. And she said, I'm gathering a little sticks that we may eat. That's the end. So we will probably die. And that was basically the place where she were at. But God has chosen her to help Elijah here. And then the next scripture, or the next verse. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that Elijah spoke. Now guys, I believe what I sense from this, why God gave me this morning, or I really feel that, is that widow, we should think in our own lives, if we are like that, okay? That if we are willing to give what are we willing to give to God? In terms of our time, our efforts, our skills, our whatever God has given us, okay? I felt that God is asking me, are you willing to give the last? Are you willing to give everything? Are you willing to lay it down? Like that widow. I mean, she really had nothing, or almost nothing. That's why she told Elijah, we'll eat this little bit we have, and then we will die. Okay? But she said, okay, I will give what you ask. Okay? And then God blessed her, and it never ran out. Okay? I believe she ate from that stuff for years to come. Okay? Because she was obedient. And I believe, and I'm almost ending off with that this morning, that God is also asking us, And this is where I want to connect the dots this morning. The gospel started 2,000 years ago of Jesus Christ. 800 years before that, there was many prophecies in Joel. I've written it down here, in many places. Okay, that there will be a day of the Lord, that God will come back. And that Gamaliel, he must have been an anointed man with wisdom. That's why he could have said to the rest of the Jews and the Pharisees, guys, if this is from men, leave it. It will stop. It will burn out. But if it's from God, leave it. You're not going to stop it. And today, 2,000 years later, more than 2,000 years, across this globe, people are gathering in churches. People are going out. People are having kiddies church. People are worshipping like us and have ministries. And it was of God. That's why it's still continuing. And there will be, like Scripture say, there will be an end. And we're not going to break our heads and try and calculate when and how and where it's going to be. The most important thing for us this morning is, are you ready? Now, I know most of you are ready. I'm really sure of that. But you must ask yourself, is the people that I know, are they ready? That's the question you must leave with. Are the people that I know, how many of them are ready? Take them by the collar, bring them to church, bring them to our office, pray with them. We need to get a little bit bolder. When was it? Second week in December, end of November 2008, I preached my first sermon here, and I told you guys, I can't speak English. Okay? Now, God has helped me through the last years. I think you by now can at least understand some of what I'm saying. Then it was really tough. Okay? And I was so afraid to stand in this pulpit because I wasn't used to it, you know. Being a cell leader or a zone coach or doing this or that doesn't prepare you for this. But guys, we all need to stand up in our own pulpits, everywhere we are. Okay? And that's the other thing. Everything's going to burn away. I read one of my heroes or people I really look up to is Pastor John Piper from America, from Bethlehem Church there. And I really admire his work. And he, at the end times, he drew this picture, or he sketched it, and I want to share it with you. It's from him. It's not my own picture. And he said it's like gathering a lot of feathers, you know, a lot of it, and holding it in your arms, as many as you can. Now, you know, if you have to pick them up, it's really tough work. They easily float away. And then if someone would take a hard roar or a massive fan or something and just blow and scatter that stuff. That is what the things that is not of God that we're trying to build. Many people through memorials or things, people try to leave things behind that can go on for another generation. Because all of us know we won't live more than 100 or 105 or how many years maximum. Then you'll pass away. It's a fact. That's the fall of sin. That's how these things work. Okay? So everything that's not from God, it will be blown away. But the things that we did according to the will of God, that things will stay. For that things we will be rewarded. So I believe this morning, as in Scripture, as that Gamaliel said, you will not stop that. We must continue with that, and we must know that there's now a definite finishing line. 20, 30, 40 years ago, people didn't preach as much about it. Although the whole New Testament, the guys anticipated and thought Jesus will come back soon. Okay? And we must be ready as a church, as individuals, to speak to that police officer or whoever, that person can hear the gospel. That when an accident like yesterday happened, that people will know. Are you with me this morning? Father God, I want to ask you, Lord God, Holy Spirit, that you will stir in our hearts, Lord, that you will give us, whether we are evangelist or pastoral, where in the fivefold ministry we fit in, Lord, that you will stir in our hearts, Lord. We all, Lord Jesus, you stood there and you said, the people are scattered. You had compassion for them, Lord God, and that we can be like that, Lord, and that we won't just say it, Lord, but that we will do it, Father God, that when we speak to people, that we will be bold and pray about it in our hearts and just wait for the right moment and speak to people and ask them, do you know Jesus Christ? And that we can communicate with them what we know, Lord. I know that when we stand up or when we go, we will be ready. Lord, you already gave us the command to go and make disciples of all the world, Lord God. And Father, as you gave us in Shofar vision, Lord God, to reach the nations and the generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting, Lord, that we will be true to your word and to our vision, that we will do it, Lord God. Lord, that beautiful fragrance of Jesus Christ, Lord, that we will spread it all around us, Lord God, that people will know we are different, Lord God, that people will feel easy to speak to us, Father God. I really pray it in Jesus' name, Lord God, and that we will wake up with words in our hearts, Lord, of when to go to people and just maybe randomly to speak to them, Lord, and that we will know, Lord, it's not about the color of the church or the venue or this or that. It's about what you are doing, Lord God. And we really want to have momentum in that, Lord God. And I pray that you'll bless us as a church and a vision, Lord God. And Lord, the church plant possibly in Otjiwarongo, Lord, I want to hold it before you, Lord. If it's from you, Lord God, bless it. If it's not, break it, Lord God. We want to be obedient to you, Lord God. And Lord God, one day, when we stand before you and we are justified, Lord God, that the works of our hands will be stuff, the right things, Lord God, the right memorials, Lord God, that people will be assigned to us, people that God saved, Lord God. And Lord, I pray for us to stand up, to be bold, Lord God. Thank you that you have already stirred it in our hearts, Lord God. That is why you've added to this church. But Lord, I pray that you will just shake us a little bit more, Lord God, and that we will think of things that happened like yesterday. And Father, that we know the clock is ticking and time is running out, Lord, and that we should really wake up with this in our hearts, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name, Lord God, and I pray the blood of Jesus Christ around us as a church, as a family, Lord God, the spiritual union, Lord God, the mission team, everyone, Lord God, that you'll bless us and protect us, Lord God. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hannes, if you and your team, if you can come up and just, if we can sing a song or two more, but I just want you guys to remain now for a moment. Hannes, they are going to start and just play a little bit at first. But I just want to give you a moment. If you just a moment, guys, please, before everyone starts to stand up, okay? Just think in your heart. I believe, that's why I prayed, that I believe the Holy Spirit would have preached a sermon to everyone this morning, that everyone would have heard something in his or her heart this morning. And I just want to give a moment for us to keep quiet, okay? And just to think about that, you know, where do you stand in terms of knowing Jesus Christ, of knowing Him as your Savior, okay, of standing in the right relationship with Him? If you are not yet at that place, friends, maybe you can all just close your eyes. Everyone just close your eyes for a moment and just look at to your inside. If you know this morning things between you and Jesus Christ aren't right yet, it's not something to figure out. You will know it's yes or no. Okay, while all eyes are closed, I want you guys to just raise your hand. I know it's going to be something that you need to be bold of. But if you're not sure or you think it's no, that you can just raise your hand this morning. And I really, really, as we're going to worship, I would like to pray with you this morning. If you really are shy and you're not sure, maybe you can come to my office afterwards. But don't leave today before we have prayed. I can do nothing for you, but Jesus can. Okay? And if there's anyone else in the house this morning, and you know you need to do business with God, there's stuff in your relationship that's not right. Maybe you are here and you're sad this morning. Maybe things at home or at school, things are not working out. Maybe your business, maybe your marriage, whatever it might be. Don't leave. Don't think about the person next to you and what he or she might say. But don't leave before we have prayed with you. The mission team are here as well. They would love to pray with you. So I'm just going to keep quiet now. And guys, if there's those people who raise their hands, please come and stand next to me. I want to pray with you this morning. I really want to. And if there's anything else, any other thing that is bugging you, you can't sleep at night or whatever it is, please come and stand here. I want to pray with you, and I believe and trust that God will lift from your shoulders whatever is on it. In Jesus' name, amen.